Hello, everybody. Welcome to Two Guys, Five Movies. This is one of your co-hosts, Chris Gasper.
This is Frank Pellicone.
You are listening to episode 117 of The Spin Chagrin, and last week's category was hootin', hollerin', and poopin'. So, Frank, what do you got for the poopin'?
So, my initial thinking was that I was going to have to find a movie. I didn't know what to watch. I'm not going to lie. Like, I didn't have, like, some poopin' movie in mind or whatever. So I got on the internet and I looked up notable poop scenes, and I got a list off of a couple of different places, and the first movie we're going to talk about was on that list. So we'll just get that out of the way. This is not the Chagrin movie, and I actually didn't even mind this movie too much, and there's only one poop scene in it, so it's going to be, we'll just talk about that. It'll be quick. So I watched Bridesmaids, the 2011 comedy with Melissa McCarthy and Kristen Wiig and what's her name? The Saturday Night Live lady. Maya Rudolph. Gotcha. Kelly Kemper's in it.
Right.
Have you seen Bridesmaids?
No.
It's a movie that I have put off watching for, 13 years at this point, just because
God, it's been that long, really.
Yeah, 2011. Just because, like, it never really appealed to me, I guess, and you know, I don't really watch comedies anyway, so and it was fine. It was a decent movie. It suffers from what I think most comedies suffer from, which is that I recognize that the things that are being said are funny in the sense that they're like clever or whatever, but they don't make me laugh. I don't really think I need to rehash the premise of Bridesmaids. I mean,
sure.
It's in the title. I liked Maya Rudolph in it a lot. I thought Melissa McCarthy was really good in it. Although I thought the character was really cringy. So there's a scene where, Kristen Wiig's character is, am I saying her name right? I've never heard it.
I think it's just Wig.
Wig. Yeah. I always think the two I's mean that you should stretch the sound out to an E. So Kristen Wiig or Wiig or whatever is poor.
Yeah, it's Wig.
And she's planning, like, they're going to go shop for bridesmaid dresses, and she wants to take everybody to lunch, but she has to pay for it. So they go to the shady Brazilian steakhouse, and they get like al pastor and shit, like when we've been to the Brazilian steakhouse, like that, you know, like they bring out meat on a stick and they cut off pieces of it and everyone thinks it's delicious. And then the one girl, Rose Byrne, who's like this, I think it's Rose Byrne anyway, the one that's like Kristen Wiig's like arch nemesis, who's also best friends with the Maya Rudolph character, she doesn't eat anything. So then they go to the super exclusive wedding dress shop and bridesmaid dress shop, and everybody starts shitting themselves. So it starts with like really long bouts of flatulence and burping, especially from the Melissa McCarthy character, because you're supposed to laugh because she's the chubby one. So, haha, look at this fat bitch.
Right.
Having gastrointestinal distress. She must have eaten too much. But then it moves to everybody else. And so they run in the bathroom, and Melissa McCarthy shits in the sink because one of the other bridesmaids is puking in the toilet. So it's Melissa McCarthy sitting on a sink, just like shitting and talking about how hot lava is coming out of her ass.
Ugh.
And then Maya Rudolph is wearing like this ridiculously expensive like wedding dress that the place had her try on. And so she can't go in the bathroom because everybody's taking up the bathroom. So she runs out into the street in her wedding dress and is like shitting on the ground in this like super expensive wedding dress. And is like, don't look at me, don't look at me.
Like on the sidewalk or?
No, in the middle of the road.
Like, oh, God.
There's like cars like driving around her and she's like shitting on the road.
Yeah.
Or look away, that's what she's yelling. Look away! Not much made me like laugh out loud in this movie. That scene made me laugh out loud, and I guess it's just my deviant, like puerile
predilection for poop.
Yeah, like... for poop jokes, not poop himself, jokes. That always like catch me off guard and make me laugh, but it made me laugh.
Right.
That's the only pooping that happens in the movie. There's obviously hooting and hollering that goes along with it.
Mm.
So I was going to make this, like, I was actually going to do, like, the whole spin chagrin about this movie, because I really couldn't find anything else that I haven't seen before.
Mm-hmm.
So then I think, well, you know what? Let me search for toilet on Tubi and see what happens. And, bro, let me tell you, fucking goldmine. Like, there are 20 movies that have toilet in the title, and all of them chagrin-worthy, I imagine.
Mm.
So, because of the threat from you and friend of the podcast, Orion Wellmaker, of the possibility of another movie having another category with, like, poop in it,
mm-hmm.
I didn't want to, like, you know, blow my load on a dry run, so to speak. So, I only watched one of my toilet movies. So, tonight, we're going to discuss a movie called Amityville Death Toilet.
Oh, Jesus Christ.
2023. I would say straight to video, but I don't think this even probably got released on DVD. This is like filmed on an iPhone and then sold to Tubi, I guess, or some streaming service. I don't know. So I don't know if you really pay attention to this, but there is a huge amount of
like 18 million Amityville movies.
Yeah, because you can't copyright Amityville because it's a town.
Right.
So anything can call itself Amityville, whatever. And it's allowed, it, like there's no copyright infringement or threat or anything like that. Mm-hmm. So I've watched several of the Amityville movies, including like Amityville Werewolf and Amityville Shark Attack or something. I can't remember. Terrible movies. This one takes the cake.
Yeah, I saw this a YouTube movie video that like somebody watched all of them, and I watched the YouTube video, and it's like, oh man, what a disaster.
Yeah, that person, I don't know. I mean, are they more ridiculous than me? It's probably about the same.
I'm also groaning because I just have the trailer for this movie playing in the background, and I'm already groaning. So
I can't believe there is a trailer. Yeah. So the movie is 1 hour and 11 minutes long. We've talked in the past about like Michael Bay and what's his name? The guy that did Zack Snyder, right? Or Peter Jackson will make overuse of slow motion.
Mm-hmm.
And it feels like they're doing it to like extend scenes or like make their movies longer. The director of Amityville Death Toilet just has his character say the same thing over and over and over in every scene, like repeatedly. And I don't know if maybe it wasn't scripted or, and they were letting them ad lib, or maybe they were just telling them like, look, we don't know how to edit this. So if you fuck up a line, just keep talking or something like that.
Mm-hmm.
But okay, so let's talk about the premise of this movie. So the movie opens with a dude sitting on the toilet and he's pooping. And my subtitles tell me that there is extended flatulence. And there is, like, it's true. And shitting noises. You just get like long farts and long like plopping shits.
Uh-huh.
And a knife pops out from behind the toilet seat, because you know the toilet seat is behind his back, so he's sitting on the toilet, or like the lid, toilet lid, he's obviously sitting on the seat, the lid is behind him, and a knife comes out and starts to hack him apart.
Where's the knife come out of?
Behind the toilet, like, I guess
behind it,
like,
okay,
no not behind the tank, behind the lid to the toilet, which is flipped up because he's sitting on the toilet seat. Does that make sense?
Okay, yes, gotcha.
Okay, so it starts hacking off his body parts. So it cuts off his hands, and it cuts off his feet, And eventually, like, he's still shitting, mind you. He dies, right?
Mm-hmm.
So then it cuts to another man, and this man is going into a bathroom. And he's all happy and dancing into the bathroom. This is a completely different bathroom, mind you.
Okay.
And he also gets killed. But it's not by the same, it's by a piece of cardboard wrapped in tinfoil that is made to be a knife. And so he dies.
Okay, that's the trailer for this movie, that one, that death.
Well, they show that like 16 times in the movie, so it's not necessarily like just that scene.
Just okay.
So then another man is on that toilet pooping, and he also dies. So three people die on the toilet. Now I want to mind you that one death is in a bathroom that's got a window next to the toilet, and is obviously in a small apartment, and the other two deaths are in this bathroom that's in like a house.
Mm-hmm.
And so he dies there. So the two guys die there. So the mayor of Amityville, Mayor Dump, is talking to the police chief of Amityville and is telling them that it's about to be tourist season and they can't afford to let the tourists get scared off by this rash of toilet murders that are happening in Amityville. And so there's this like 8-minute long conversation where Mayor Dump, and it doesn't show the chief of police or anything on the other side of the phone, it's just Mayor Dump, a camera like on him, like him talking, and he's like, it's the tourist season, the tourists are coming in, there's this toilet desk, these commodes, the commodes are dangerous, it's deaths on a toilet, toilet deaths, what are we going to do about these toilet deaths? Can't have the tourists finding out about these toilet deaths. It'll be the death of Amityville tourist season. It's the commodes. Like, I swear to God, it just over and over and over. This motherfucker, just the same thing, like, constantly. So that's mm-hmm. really annoying.
Mm-hmm.
So they talk about how they got to find this paranormal investigator who's really famous on YouTube. And they need to bring him in and have him solve the mystery of the Amityville death toilet. Because all these guys died on a toilet, and obviously the toilet's haunted.
Mm-hmm.
So then you meet Greg G. Allen. So G.G. Allen. Which, I don't know why. Do you know who G.G. Allen is? Are you familiar?
Yeah, of course.
Okay. G.G. Allen, for those who are not steeped in pointless knowledge of the 90s, was an alternative musician who was notorious for like hurting himself and defecating on stage, which, you know, I guess kind of fits because he would also probably hoot, holler, and poop.
Right.
Because like he would like fight like audience members, and he's just a terrible person, but he was really renowned for like these antics of his.
Mm-hmm.
So they named this character Greg G. Allen, which I assume is an homage to him, but there's nothing about this character that relates to that character. So it must just be like an inside joke, or the guy that made the movie is like a big fan and just wanted to like get it in there as like a, you know, whatever, an Easter egg or something. Fucking bullshit. So Greg G. Allen, then he's on vacation in somewhere sunny and tropical. So he's laying on a, like a chaise lounge or whatever. And he gets a phone call from Mayor Dump. And Mayor Dump is telling him that he needs to come to Amityville. So now you get another 7-minute long scene of Greg G. Allen repeating, so the toilets are coming alive. The toilets are killing people. It's a haunting. It's the toilets. That, you know, over and over and over. So that goes on forever. So he decides. So then he picks up his phone and starts like vlogging for his YouTube channel, where he then repeats the conversation that you just listened to as the viewer of this movie, almost verbatim, into his phone, because now he's vlogging So it's, I guess, like adding an element of realism there.
Mm-hmm.
So that goes on forever. So then Greg G. Allen flies to Amityville. Now, you know where Amityville is, right? Like in the real world?
Yes.
In upstate New York, right? Yeah. So upstate New York has a very distinct look to it. The Amityville house, for instance, has a very distinct look to it.
Sure.
This movie was filmed in like possibly California, maybe Arizona. Mm-hmm. So the Amityville house, and it's actually, I guess, maybe I'll get to that. It's just some house that has like a bay window in the upper story. That's a triangle, mind you, not even like a semicircle, like in the Amityville like movies, the real ones. And also surrounded by palm trees, which really like sets the scene. So Greg G. Allen, he goes to the house and he goes inside and he says, well, this is obviously the part of the house they must have remodeled from the original. Because this is completely different than the original house.
Trying to keep some kayfabe, you think?
Yeah, so I guess that's the way of like just explaining away the fact that everything is completely different than the original.
Yeah, the yellow stucco that I saw in the trailer in that bathroom definitely, I think, is like Southwest. Yeah, I think you're right. Like Arizona, something like that.
Arizona, maybe California. I don't know. Yeah. It's somewhere with palm trees, so it doesn't matter. It is obviously not the Amityville house. Right. So then you get to see Greg G. Allen, which he says repeatedly, this is Greg G. Allen. He can't also say that he's on a show called Ghost Hunters. So it's like Greg's Ghost Hunts or something like that. Mm. I think it's the name. So they're really just trying to avoid any kind of like copyright infringement. He walks around the house and like does a tour of the house. And this takes another like 8 or 9 minutes of the movie. Shows you the rumpus room where there's a Pac-Man machine and a couch, and talks about how the couch is comfortable for watching movies, and the kitchen. And there doesn't seem to be any supernatural activity. Oh my God.
Oh.
God, that took forever.
I was wondering what was happening. Bless you.
I was hooting. I'm going to poop in a second. So he walks around the house and nothing happens in the house. Then he gets downstairs and this guy in pajamas comes out of a room and starts talking to him. So they have this really extended conversation that basically boils down to, hey, like, what are you doing in this house? He's like, oh, I'm the groundskeeper. Mind you, this is, like, just a fucking, like, single-family home. But he's mm-hmm. the groundskeeper.
Right.
And George or Greg or whatever is like, oh, where'd you come from? He's like, oh, I've been here the whole time. Like, I never left. Oh, well, I didn't see you come in. Like, oh, yeah, I've been here. So they have this really long conversation. And then Mr. Allen gets back on his YouTube channel. He's like, I think that man was dead. I think he was dead the whole time. I think he's a ghost. I think if he was in the house and he wasn't in the house when I walked in, I walked through that room. I know he wasn't there. How do I know he wasn't there? Because I walked through that room. So where did he come from? Where did he come from? Maybe he's a ghost. Maybe he's already a dead man. Maybe because the windows are shut. And it just goes on and on and on. Fucking, oh my God. I read online someone said they thought this movie was really funny. This movie is not funny. This movie is painful. And one of the few movies where I've legitimately thought, fuck the Spin Chagrin rules, I'm just turning this shit off. Like, I am not going to watch this movie anymore. But I stuck it out, so you're welcome.
Good job.
So then the guy in the pajamas, who you're meant to believe, I think is a ghost. I think you're meant to believe that he's like some spirit of the dead. He starts farting really loudly and longly, which again is told to me by my closed captioning.
Mm.
And he goes up to sit.
It extended flatulence?
Yes, it's okay. Extended. So he goes up to sit on the toilet that the other people like sat on, and the Amityville toilet cuts off his dick, I think, is what happens. I don't know. And murders him. So then he's dead. Oh, it also cuts off his hands and feet because they must have had fake hands and feet and they were really into that like effect. So then G.G. Allen comes upstairs and he's like, like he's all freaked out. And the toilet yells at him, leave, like in that voice. And you can tell it's the toilet saying it because it cuts to the toilet whenever that happens. So, and that happens 30 or 40 times over the last like 25 minutes of this movie where someone will be in the bathroom. And it's just one bathroom, mind you. It's not like a haunted, like commode system. It's just one toilet. Someone will go in there and the toilet will go, leave. And then, you know, whatever. So now G.G. Allen has to figure out how he's going to like solve this, you know, haunting of Amityville. So throughout the movie, he tells you that he has a crystal that he carries with him, and his crystal is just like a plastic cube that's got one of those holograms in it. You know, like, I don't know if you've ever seen those. You can buy them at like souvenir shops or whatever. It's just like a hunk of like lucite.
Yeah, that has
an image etched in it. So when you move it to different angles, it kind of looks like it's like a hologram. So he's got one of them that's got some person's head in it, but I'm not sure who the person is. Because they didn't hold it still long enough, or maybe I wasn't focused enough to pay attention. But anyway. Then he has a sacred Indian crow feather, which is literally just a feather. And I don't think it was a crow feather, but maybe I'm wrong. So he goes up to the Amityville toilet with these things, and he gets repulsed from the bathroom by the evil forces of the Amityville toilet. So he goes downstairs and he gets back on his vlog and he's like, none of my tricks are working. I don't know what to do. So several times during the course of the movie, they've cut to the New American Bible that's on like the coffee table. Okay. Like they've just shown it. So apparently that's what he needed to do. So he gets the New American Bible and he goes upstairs to where the Amityville toilet is and he starts reading passages from it. But I don't think they were Bible verses, maybe, or unless it's like the New American is just like so poorly translated that it doesn't sound anything like the actual Bible. But then they have like After Effects on whatever program they're using on their phone to record. So this starts like shooting flames up in the air, like around it. But it's not like good After Effects. It's just like the bottom of the screen has like a crackling flame effect. And he's like, oh, how do I escape? The toilet, it's getting the best of me. And the toilet's just going, leave. So he throws the Bible on the toilet, and that gives him some respite. And then there's like a back and forth, and he's like, I don't think he ever says the power of Christ compels you, but he's like trying to like exercise the toilet. And then he just kind of does. Like, it's just done. It's just over. Like, he's done it. And the toilet has a stick come out of it with a white towel. Like, I guess it's like either... I couldn't tell if it was throwing like, in the towel or waving like, the white flag.
Yeah, it's like, right, surrender.
But in any event, like, that's how he understands that the toilet has surrendered. So he leaves the Amityville house. And he calls Mayor Dump and he's like, hey, Mayor Dump, you know, like, I've solved your problem. You know, everything's fine now. So Mayor Dump's like, yeah, that's awesome. And so he goes to leave. So let me think. I don't want to get this wrong. So the mayor dump is sitting there and he's like, oh, it's great. The toilet is finally, you know, there's no more ghost deaths. We can go into tourist season. And then he starts farting a whole bunch. So I guess the extended flatulence is part of like this Amityville curse. Of the death toilet.
Sounds like it.
So it's implied maybe he gets stabbed or something. I don't remember. Like, I was so tuned out by the end of this movie. But anyway, so then it cuts back to like a quiet scene in the Amityville house. It's not the Amityville house. And let me tell you something. They shoot long shots and outside shots of the Amityville house repeatedly throughout this fucking movie, and it's obviously not the Amityville house. Like, there's nothing about it that looks even remote, with the exception of the fact that it's got a big window and an upper floor. Anyway, so it cuts back to inside, and the toilet, which was docile, and then goes leave. And then it cuts to Greg G. Allen driving out of town in his rental car. And showing you the road from like the view of his windshield, which I'd also don't understand like what the point of that was, except just to extend their footage or whatever. So, for a movie that's centered around the idea of like shitting and shitting being the death of you, they don't really ever show any shit. Nor do they have any of like the common tropes of, what I would consider, like toilet humor, like nobody gets blown off the toilet or the toilets don't overflow, or, and it's really because like they were just filming in some person's house,
right?
And they probably didn't have like the ability or permission to like destroy anything or alter anything.
So I have one question about this trailer that I watched.
Yeah,
the happy guy in a Hawaiian shirt in the beginning that you talked, well, there's happy guy you talked about in the beginning and gets killed.
Yeah, he's dancing when he goes into the
bathroom. Yeah, okay. He's in like a Hawaiian shirt and shit. So he has something come out of his mouth that looks like chocolate, like melted chocolate.
Yeah, I think it's supposed to be blood.
Okay. You think it's supposed,
I don't think
to, be
it's
supposed
blood. To be runny shit.
It's not supposed to be runny shit. Okay. All right.
No, it's after he gets stabbed on the toilet that that happens. So I think it's supposed to be illustrative of him.
Okay. I feel better now. Like, okay.
Just like choking up blood or whatever.
Yeah. All right. Looks a lot like shit. Well, it looks a lot like chocolate.
But... Yeah. Well, it probably might have been. Could have been Hershey's syrup or something.
Yeah.
They don't, yeah, I mean, I don't know. It's just,
I'm going to say this. I was not looking forward to this, like listening to this. And I thought I was going to like be really disgusted. It actually wasn't that, I mean, like, it sounds like a fucking terrible movie, but it is like, I wasn't like grossed out or anything. It doesn't feel like there's a lot of shit, a lot of poop.
It's an awful movie to watch because it's very boring and very poorly done. But it's not an awful movie to watch in the sense that, like, I mean, there's so many other movies that have far worse like poop humor or poop displays of pooping.
Your description of the bridesmaid scene made me react worse than that movie.
Yeah, you also don't see any like poop there either. They don't actually show any poop.
Yeah, there's still too much going on there, though.
But it's a lot more grotesque.
Right.
There's also a lot funnier. Like, there's... I read some... Like, when you look up Amityville Death Toilet on Google, you get the IMDb page. And you get, like, a link to YouTube. And then you get a link to a Reddit post that was made last year of some guy talking about how this movie's actually really good. And the filmmakers achieved what they wanted. I don't know. It's like the most... It must be written by one of the guys that made it, I think. Because no one in real life would watch this movie and think, wow, what a success. Because it's not. You know, it's an abject failure. I don't know. I go back and forth about how I feel about shot on cell phone movies. Because on one hand, I actually think that there's, it's kind of exciting, I think, a little bit, that phones are, you know, can contain so much data and are so, well, I don't know what the word I'm looking for. Like, the resolution is so good that you could legitimately, like, film something that you could then, whatever, like, show on a television. And it looks like, whatever, like digital video from
right when we right yeah like when I had a digital camera and shit right
and probably even better in some
probably
ways, because the phone is constantly like adjusting to take into account like lighting and
yeah
background and depth of field and all that stuff. But if this is what it will, if this is what is wrought from that, then maybe it's not such a good thing. I don't know. Like,
well, it's always the artist, right? If you just have people that are like doing this shit, like, you know, as like a half goof, but somehow still making money out of it and stuff like that. Like, it's like you think about like, it's my only like experience with it, really, like with a phone is like, you know. Like our friend Orion, his YouTube channel, like Orion's like very thoughtful, like when he's doing more cinematic stuff about camera angles and positioning and like, you know, how things look. And obviously from this trailer, which I watched two different ones of, nobody gives a fuck about that. Like,
no, well, that's the problem, because Orion is.
He's thinking like a filmmaker.
Right. Like rehearsing right. The things that he's saying and practicing multiple shots. Like. Right.
Yeah,
half the movie is.
I've watched him do work. Like it's like he's like trying different things out. Like I mean, like it's fucking, you know, incredible. Like, you know, like, but really thinking it through, scoping out the scene. Like, you know, I mean, what do we got? Like, where's the lighting? Like this movie didn't give a fuck about that. I could tell from 30 seconds.
Half the movie is filmed by the actor playing Greg G. Allen. Carrying his camera, because the conceit is you know, it's a YouTube channel, it's a vlog, like mm-hmm. He's a semi-popular YouTube whatever guy that does like hauntings. And I don't know, I mean, I guess like could that work as a movie? Sure, you know, if that's how you film it, yeah, 100%. I think you could make, I know that they were going for comedy. Like, there's no part of this movie that was ever trying to be serious. But they're so lackluster in their approach. Like, even something terrible like Stonerville, which to me will always be the epitome of awful comedies that I've seen in my life.
Mm-hmm.
Until someday I see something far worse, which, God help me. it still was a better conceived and more thoughtful movie with actual like effort put into it than something like this.
Right. Right.
Which is legitimately just like bottom of the barrel, you know?
Yeah. Yeah. I'm fascinated by the existence of movies like this. Like, I do think, I always forget the name of them. The Amazon series with like the Paranormal Activity guy, like,
Bad Ben.
Yeah. Like, at least Bad Ben tries, I think, put in some effort. Like, the guy that does those, like, a little bit. Like, compared to, like, what I see of this, right? And the first couple ones, he's definitely trying to tell a story, even if it's, like, tongue-in-cheek and stuff like that. And then it just gets, like, really fucking absurd, like, you go past that. But it's, like... So there's levels to this shit, right? I guess is what I'm saying. It's like, you know, like I have a little bit of respect for the Bad Ben guy. Just looking at like the two trailers, 90 seconds, like there's nothing here. Like it's just like some dude's filming.
So there's another, I don't know if it's direct to Amazon only or whatever, but the Blackwell Ghost stuff.
Oh, yeah, yeah, yeah.
That uh-huh. is now on like the 8th or 9th, like, iteration
yeah
is another one that you know, it started out, it's just continued on, and they, I haven't watched any of them but the first one, but it's definitely got like a group of people that really are into it. Mm-hmm. And it would, like, I thought it was effective. The first one had some effective scenes in it, and it's all just filmed on somebody's phone, kind of, or maybe that one's filmed on like digital video or something, but so anyway, so there are very many toilet movies on Tubi. And it's fine. Like, I'll, you forced me to watch some poop movies. I got them saved. You know, I'll watch them. Can't beat me.
I tried to put it off on Orion for this category, and apparently it was all me, writing it down when you said that phrase. Which I don't know what I was thinking, because like I've dreaded what you would find and talk about like for most of the week. I think like low key, like, you know, unconsciously, like it's been stressing me out. So I want to talk just a little bit about poop.
All right, let's do it.
In the sense of like, you are the king of using the word and making poop jokes.
Had a whole hashtag, poop chat 2000 whatever.
Yeah, like 20. Yeah, I don't even remember when that was.
2012 to infinity.
Right. And like, I do not like thinking about, talking about, viewing like poop jokes and movies. Like, I like it is like the thing I like do. I it makes me up, like, upset.
Gotcha.
Internally. And I've become accustomed to your poop jokes, and I swear, I think sometimes I've never seen you laugh at yourself louder on a good poop joke. Like, it is the thing that maybe makes you the happiest I've ever seen you, is like when you get off a really good poop joke.
I wish I could think of one right now. I mean, I can picture myself saying hooting and hollering and pooping.
what's your love of poop jokes?
I just think it's funny. It's because, like, I think poop is really disgusting,
right?
In reality.
Yes.
And I don't want to see or smell or experience poop. I think it's, I'm so scared of like someone like hearing me or seeing me poop in real life.
Mm-hmm.
Although I'll be honest with you, I have probably overcome that just from my international travel over the past couple of years. Like, I think I'm, because you can't be afraid of poop when you're like, you know, anyway, it's just not that big of a deal over there. So,
right.
Which
is probably the healthier thing.
Yeah.
Like, I have been, whatever, I don't know what you want to describe it as. Like, you know, I am certainly a product of some sort of American culture, like, sure, in terms of my aversion, like, to discussion of, like, yeah, like being worried about, like, people, like, you know, like being around or anything like that. So I certainly see that as the healthier mindset, but I do not have that healthy mindset, like, whatsoever.
I don't know if I don't know if even poop jokes are funny over there, really.
Right.
Maybe, but it, not in the way that, like, they're funny in this country. I don't know. It's an easy way to get people to laugh. Like, even the word poop is kind of a funny thing to say. You know?
Right. Right. You hit on that, I guess. Like, you figured that one out. long time
like ago. I write poop on people's like windshield and like the snow or the fog on their windshield, and I do it like
I think you actually have done that in my car before.
Oh, numerous times, because when you clean it, no matter what, when it fogs up, you're still going to see the word poop again, and that makes right. me laugh that like yeah. you're going to be looking at your car one day and randomly the word poop is going to manifest, and who knows like what your reaction is going to be. But to me, it's funny.
Right.
I don't know. It just makes me laugh. But I also find it like super horrifying. So.
And that's the dichotomy that I've never been able to figure out. Cause we had a long conversation about all of this at the bar, like, I don't know, 10, 12 years ago or something one night. Whereas like where you got like really upset because I think it was because you walked in to urinate and like in the bathroom and somebody was in there pooping. Hey, and
not the place. I mean, obviously.
Right. That was your stance, and you really went hard on that stance and about like, you know, how fucking sick and disgusting and like, you know, depraved somebody is to like fucking be like having like a like what was it? Extended flatulence, like yeah. and like, you know, all this stuff like in the public toilet. And but then it's like you turn around and you just like make like 18 poop jokes in a row. And I never got the dichotomy of being so disgusted, but so willing to engage in the poop joke.
Yes.
Are you over? Like, is it psychological at that point? Is it like
the,
is
because it... the bar, like you're drinking, right? And I know that we used to eat at the bar all the time. And again, now I'm older and I think more well-traveled and I understand that it's not that big of a deal, but like, you don't just like sit down there and like drop a deuce for 20 minutes, like on a Saturday night. The fuck are you doing, man? Like there's other people need to go to the bathroom. Right. I don't know. That bothers me. That still bothers me. Except I did have to poop at the bar one time because yes. we had gone out to get crabs. Yes. And not to say that I haven't pooped at the bar multiple times, but there's one time that I really remember. And I had eaten like probably like 23 crabs or something ridiculous at all you can eat crab night. And I was going to shit myself and I had to go in there and I swear to God, it was like a bowling ball, like fell out of my ass and it was like awful. And I was so mortified that I had done that at the bar after very loudly and vocally judging other people for doing that at different times at the bar.
Mm-hmm.
But now I would go poop at the bar with no qualms. Like whatever you got to poop, you got to poop. I'm just more annoyed that we don't have fucking bum guns in this country.
Mm.
Like we don't take poop seriously enough. I don't think. Like clean yourself. So gross. Toilet right. paper is like the worst thing. Toilet paper is the stupidest invention, and I don't know why we don't have like some other way to clean our asses when we
won't right, poop. Right,
ridiculous.
Like three clamshells.
What?
It was a Demolition Man joke.
Yeah, I understand. I'm just saying though, like you go overseas and they have like squirt guns that you right. put in your ass, and
I understand. But right.
in the proximity of your ass and you squeeze them and it shoots this nice jet of water
yeah.
and it cleans you out. And then right. you wipe like one time
right.
and it comes back clear and you're done.
I think I have a lot of reasons for my aversions, but the worst experience Bledsoe's wedding, that trailer they had was very nice for like a portable toilet. Like it's the nicest like portable toilet I think I've ever been in probably. Right. But it's like portable toilets.
Yeah. Horrifying.
Fucking. Yes. Like horrifying. And I had to use one when I was like 13. Like, because like I got like some kind of like sun poisoning and it like fucked me up. And it was like a roadside like porta potty like type thing.
Mm.
One of the worst experiences I ever had in my life, and I'm still traumatized from it.
I understand.
disgusting, disgusting. Like, I want to go take a shower, like, again, like, just thinking about, like a porta potty like that.
Yeah. I mean, there's some horrifying places in Thailand the first time you do it. Like, when you've got a toilet where it's just a bucket of water and a hole in the ground and you got to figure out what to do and you got to go, like, you just got to, like, fucking suck it up. Well, not suck it up, because that'd be awful. But you really just have to, like just figure it out, you know? Like,
Right.
Here's one of the sad facts of life. And maybe this is why, like, it makes me laugh so much. No matter what, poop is going to come out of you at some point. Like, you can't stop it forever.
Right. And that book didn't exist when we were kids.
No, I mean,
there's a book now about, like, you know, like, yeah, that teaches kids. Right. Everybody, all these kids know that, right?
Right.
Again, healthier mindset, but... You know,
yeah. So I just think, like, whatever. It's just funny, you know. It's gonna happen. It makes you laugh. It makes me laugh.
Makes you laugh. I think.
I can make anybody laugh with poop jokes.
You're also very poop oriented, though, too. Like, even outside of jokes, like, you're constantly comparing things to poop, like, in bad ways.
Right, because what's the worst thing is poop.
That, again, that's what I'm saying, is the dichotomy of it. Like, that's what,
right, well,
it's
what,
like...
I'm saying is, like, I mean, I know people that claim that they like shitting. I think that's crazy. I am not a fan of pooping, although it does feel good sometimes, like, when you have to go,
right? Are they talking about the process or the result, like, you know, the outcome? Like, you're talking about the outcome, like, of feeling, like, unencumbered, of, like, lessened, like, in some way. Like, I can understand that, maybe. But if you're talking about the process, then I don't know how to feel about that. I don't like that. Who likes that?
I mean, somebody likes it.
Yeah.
What's the line in The Hollow Men between the something and the
between
reality?
Between the idea and the reality,
there's your poop. Because, like, I don't know. Universally, if you're talking about feces, people view that, unless they're, like, deviants, view it as a disgusting thing.
Mm-hmm.
It's waste. It's the thing that you're pushing out of yourself to, like, get rid of it.
Yes.
Right? So, when I compare something to shit, it's universally understood that I'm saying that it's a bad thing.
Right.
Or it's at least an undesirable or whatever. Yeah.
So it's just an interesting mind. That's all I'm saying. Like, a lot of revolving around poop, in different ways. Good ways and bad ways and all in between. It's like, seriously, one of your most, like, go-to lines over the years has been about, like, what is it? It's like solid poop and diarrhea. Like, is
it all poop in the end? Yeah, fucking, it's true, though. Like, would you rather have a solid poop? Sure, but it's still shit.
Right. It's right. Your it's the line you use when you are, when small distinctions are made between things that are bad. Yeah,
I stand by it.
Yeah, no, it's a good line. I'm not criticizing. I'm just saying, like, even, like, it's one of this. It's like a go-to. Good line. No, you probably said it on this fucking podcast, like, at least 20 times, I'm sure.
Probably last week.
All right. So that's the end of Poop Chat 24.
Hashtag
Poop Chat 24. Anything else you want to talk about before?
Watch a couple good movies. This weekend, two that I would highly recommend: in Late Night with the Devil, which is streaming on Shudder, and Disappear Completely, which is streaming on Netflix. Is Late Night with the Devil a foreign language movie that was filmed in English? Is that correct?
I don't think so.
I thought that the guy that directed it was a foreign language director. Maybe I'm wrong. Anyway, so both really good.
The Spirit of the
is Spanish language. Really worth watching. They're both really good. And watch the first episode of Fallout. Did we talk about that last week?
No, you hadn't watched it yet. I just talked about it briefly and just didn't non-spoilery like about everything.
Yeah, I only watched the first episode because my son went away on a vacation, so I want to watch it with him. Even though he's never played the Fallout game, so he's not really invested in the universe, but I actually kind of like that.
What?
So there's some things, yeah.
How has your son never played the Fallout games?
He just doesn't enjoy them, I guess. Okay. Maybe it's not the post-apocalyptic shit.
He's probably going to have to live it, so I mean, I wouldn't want to play it either.
Right. I don't want to play The Sims. It's the same thing. So, really enjoyed the first episode. I think that there's some differences between the lore of the games and the lore in the show, but I think it's okay. Like, I saw people complain about that online, but I think this may be a stupid complaint.
Are you talking about the Vega stuff?
And just some things, okay. Like the way that some of the stuff in the way that Vault-Tec is handled, some of the stuff in the way that, like, kind of like the way the Raiders are introduced. I don't know. There's just small things about it that people have complained about that I've read online. But I thought it was enjoyable for a first episode. I'm glad that, like, apparently the entire show kind of maintains that level of quality. And hopefully it gets another season. Because I really do like the Fallout universe, even if I'm not a fan of all the games. And Fallout 4 gets a remaster on the 25th that adds a bunch of quality of life improvements and whatnot. So if you're a fan of that game, maybe a good time to replay it. Or maybe if you didn't super appreciate it the first time, maybe this is a good time to check it out. And the Skyrim remaster that came out in the past year is amazing. And changes a lot of things about that game and actually makes it feel like fresh and brand new. So hopefully this Fallout remaster does the same thing.
Yeah. Yeah, I'm pretty sure it's already renewed for season 2 Fallout. Which is good because, I mean, obviously there's cliffhanger stuff. So, yeah, it is Deadline. Yeah, here's Deadline. Yeah, they renewed it this week. So the numbers must have been pretty good. Since last weekend. Yeah, I liked Late Night with the Devil a lot. I'm going to try to watch Disappear Completely tonight because I'm caught up on stuff. And yeah, I'll be interested to see what both you and Frankie think about Fallout when you watch it. especially since he hasn't really... He's watched you play them, though, right?
I'm sure, yeah. Although probably more 3 in New Vegas than 4. I beat 4, I think, but I didn't really play 4 as much as I played the other ones. Like, I've tried to play 4 a couple of times and it's just, I find it very boring. And I think I find the path you have to take through the main quest, especially because it shoehorns the fucking, what's it called? The settlement building aspect on it.
Mm-hmm.
Like, it shoehorns that in and, like, forces you to do it super early. And I think that gets, like, really boring really quick.
Yeah, but doesn't force you to necessarily continue doing it. But yeah, I take your point. Like, it's something that is, like, not everything it needs to be yet. Like, It feels like it's too time consuming to do all that stuff, even though I like the idea of it to some degree. I much prefer, like, the Skyrim way of, like, building home settlement type things as opposed to that.
Right, that it's just there for you and you can like create the
You still gotta get your materials and stuff, but like it just kinda does it, right? Like rather than you having to like fucking place everything and all that kind of stuff. Right. Like that's not my like cup of tea necessarily. But
plus it's so easy to fuck up, like you think you put something together and now all of a sudden it doesn't work because there's a theme somewhere that you didn't connect completely.
I will say that like my month or two of playing Fallout 76, they do a much better job with all that stuff, like once you learn the system of like building. So if they're doing some kind of remaster, maybe that'll be better, like and use something like more like that, more refined. But yeah, Fallout 4's main story is the worst. It's terrible. Like I like absolutely hate that main quest. Although the second time I played it, there's other stuff in the game, like side quests and stuff like that, that I did like. Where the first time I played it, I was so disgusted with that game because I remember the first time I played it. I don't know if you remember this, like I thought the main quest is gonna be really long, and like it's really only like what, like seven missions maybe or something like that. It's like really short, like overall, like, you know, like the when they title them and like, you know, it's really not that long, maybe eight. And if you so I was like doing these things thinking like, oh, like, you know, and then it's like suddenly it's like I've been playing the game for 30 hours and I beat it. Like it's like, oh, that's the end. Like it comes out of nowhere to me, like. And then I was like, didn't even want to go back and do the side quests because like, I just was like, gone along, like thinking I thought I was doing side quests or something for a while with the factions and everything, but it was like, it was all part of the main quest. So I just think it's a really poorly crafted narrative.
I don't like the factions in it either. Like I hate the Minutemen.
Yeah.
I'm not a fan of the Railroad. Like right. The first one with like the Enclave and the Brotherhood of Steel the different like raider settlements, like there was like I don't know,
right yep.
The only part I hated about the first game was Rivet City, and you have to do so little in Rivet City that it doesn't even matter. You can just ignore that whole part of the map if you want.
There's just so much, you know, watching, because I used to, and then I have started again a little bit watching Oxhorn on YouTube and watching his videos, particularly about Fallout 76, since I just can't invest the time and energy that it takes for that. With the constant, like, monthly things that are going on and everything. And plus, they, like, kind of scale it down to where it's like they want you to just play constantly, like, all the time, like, the way it's designed. So I watch his like Fallout 76 videos, like now that he like has plenty up, and like Fallout 3 like has so much to do. Like when you watch his videos, there's so many places that like just are like there's nothing there other than just things you can read and figure out, like little stories that are not part of a side quest, that are not part of a. And there's just so much detail and level of depth in 3 compared to 4.
Oh, like, yeah.
So much. Like, it's wild, like, how, like, the difference between those two. And I've never really looked into it. I'm assuming 4 is made more for a casual fan, maybe, as opposed to, like, some kind of, like... And Vegas, I mean, even though, like, I have never went back to play that, and I really should at some point... 3 and Vegas are made for like hardcore fans, almost like people that really like want to invest more, I think, like in the universe and like the reading and stuff like that, where 4 feels like it's maybe more for casuals in some ways.
I think that 4's environment is open more because you're supposed to do the find the places to build your new settlements. Like once you get past shady shores or whatever that place is called, you're supposed to like go, because you know you can go to the place that's south, that's like an old like drive-in movie theater,
Right.
You know what I'm talking about? And you can like build like a settlement there, and then
there's what Red Rocket, is that what it's called? Or something like that? What is
That's it.
You can build one there, right? Like, yeah, but yeah, the movie theater, their drive-in is where I built one time, like, and besides the main base with what, Preston Garvey, is that right?
And Preston Garvey, good job.
Yeah, I just started playing that again last night. I have not met Preston Garvey yet. Because I'm just kind of like holding off now since you said there's going to be like some sort of massive update. But
Yeah, it's
I'll give it
on
one more try though. Like
the 25th. So, what is that, Thursday?
Friday, I think. No, Thursday, you're right.
Yeah.
But yeah, the only other thing I watched this week, students really need to stop emailing me. Oh, same student twice. Cool. I watched fucking, you're not gonna watch it, right? The fucking Rebel Moon thing.
Oh no, I'll watch it.
Oh, okay. I won't give any spoilers then. Other than to say, like, ugh. That's a like it's exactly what you think it'll be. Like, it's better than the first part. Probably. It has to be. It has to be better than the first part. But it's still just exactly what you think it's going to be. Like, in like almost every single way. It really, that dude's the worst. I really dislike that guy a lot. Like in his movies. I don't know the dude, so I can't say I dislike him. I dislike his movies so much.
I think you would dislike him.
Yeah, I don't know. I mean, I just read a couple interviews with him. You ready to spin this wheel? I forgot all about it.
Oh, right. Yeah, let's do it.
Yeah. All right. Oh shit. Hold on. No, wait. What's the chagrin score? Fuck. We got to talk
Oh,
about
my God.
pooping.
Yeah. It's like a 9.5. It's not quite up to the level of a 10. I did wish I was dead a couple times watching it, and I wish that I would never have to experience anything like it again, but whatever. But I would not recommend anyone ever watch it, and I don't know. Oh man, it's tired in here.
Yeah.
I don't understand why it was made, and I guess I made that dude some money today, so whatever,
Yeah.
that's my own fucking fault. But
Right. All right, let's go ahead and spin this wheel, making the people wait. Category for next week is convenient tunnels. Category for next week is convenient tunnels.
I have no feeling about that. Do you know what that's from?
No, I know I wrote it down. I thought it was I you said it and it was like, yeah, there's probably lots of movies with convenient tunnels in them. It was from last year.
I don't know, whatever, I'll find something.
Oh yeah, I know you will. I mean, there's got to be tons of shit like with just
If only I
tunnels.
hadn't have already watched the last what's the who's it movie? Fucking Rambo.
Well, so it's like, it's just gotta have tunnels. Like, it's like it's just
Oh
whether
no,
they're
there's a
con it's
convenient
whether
tunnel.
well it's whether they're convenient or not, right? Like,
Right.
cause
I guess that's how I'll judge the chagrin. Was this a
right.
convenient tunnel? No.
It's
Maybe
probably
somebody's tunneling through somebody's
at
body.
least mid-year. So let's see here. Bloodshot, Fire from Below, Viking.
Oh, there's convenient tunnels and fire down below.
You know, scared.
It's not fire.
Oh, no, it's scared to death, isn't it?
What is that movie?
You talk. Yeah, it's got to be. The category was sewer shenanigans, and you watched a monster movie called Scared to Death.
Oh, right, with the yeah.
And you, I think you red carded me, or you like made me just like told me it was one of those things where you should watch this or something.
Scared to death made you watch?
I'm positive. Yeah.
Nobody was scared to death. They were all killed to death. They were eaten to death by the monster.
Yeah. Oh yeah. No, you made me watch this. I don't know.
It's the one with like the alien ripoff, right?
Yeah.
Like kind of the xenomorphy looking egg
kind plant. Of.
Not egg plant. That's plant and eggs is what I mean to say. Like turning them all into eggy things in the sewers. With the roller skating girl?
Yes. Yeah. Yep. There's that really long roller skating scene. Yeah.
Yeah, because he roller skates like all the way down a fucking parking garage for no reason.
Correct.
And then decides to take her roller skates off. You couldn't skate back up? Like, what the fuck?
Right. That's where the convenient tunnels thing came from. Yes. That's definitely
because, there's fucking tunnels everywhere. So
always. Because it's sewers.
Knockoff right. Xenomorph can, like, get around. That's what the guy who's like used to be a cop and then he became like a fucking detective novelist and private detective, but he's a fucking prick.
Scared to death is amazing.
You're giving me PTSD chagrin.
What? Scared to Death is a really funny movie.
It is a really funny movie. It's much better than the Amityville toilet art.
Sure.
Death toilet. I don't want to disrespect them and their clever title. Like, what is even that idea? Hey, I got this idea. It's a haunted toilet.
And right.
The toilet kills people.
Right. Whatever. It's the idea of someone who smokes weed or some shit. Like, hey. Like.
Bro, we'll name the character G.G. Allen. What? Oh.
God. Bro, fucking Vince Russo wrote it. Yeah. Fucking pen name.
Or Kevin Nash. But it's got to be like a 50-year-old person to like care about G.G. Allen,
right?
That is
sure. Well, the guy is Evan Jacobs. Who? Oh yeah. He's got to be like 50. I'm just looking at his face. He's for. Oh, God. He has a movie in 2023 called Mansplained. Hold on.
I bet you.
Oh, it absolutely is. Tired of being pestered by all the men around her, Sarah enacts the best kind of Polanski-esque revenge on her would-be mansplainers.
Polanski? What's the Polanski-esque revenge?
No idea.
Jesus, now I got to put this on a list. I hope they repeat dialogue over and over.
God, he made, hold on, 1, 2, 3, 4, 5, 6, 7, 8 movies in 2023. This guy. Only one in 2024, though. Amityville Backpack.
Oh, nice. I wonder if it's got the same characters. God, this movie's 3 minutes longer than fucking Amityville Death Toys.
No, but the guy that played the guy that did the extra noises for the mud mounds in which I did not bring up to you in Death Toilet plays the lead in this. A guy
the
named
Mud Mounds?
Yeah, that's what it said.
What is that?
Hold on. Let me go back and make sure that I read it correctly. This guy named Mike Hartsfield, miscellaneous men making mud mounds.
Oh, he plays the three dudes that get murdered.
Okay.
I guess okay. That's their clever way of saying shitting.
Mm.
Not that it's clever.
Gotcha. So yeah, he's the lead in Backpack. He plays a character named Luther Boots.
Nice.
So he's probably a backpack category of some sort. But yeah. Oh my God, this guy's been sick. He has so many movies from 2022. There's a movie called Taking a COVID Test that he made.
Here's a movie called Amityville Karen.
Yeah, I saw that. Like, come on.
That's an hour and 43 minutes, so that's a non-starter right there.
Oh, this is a video. Some of these are listed as videos.
So he actually probably did like a useful like video of how to take a COVID test.
Maybe. Or an unuseful video. Oh my God, I didn't realize there were so many death toilets.
What do you mean?
Nothing.
There's more than just that death toilet?
That's Amityville Death Toilet. There's a Death Toilet series.
By him?
Yes. There, hold on. Video? Hold on. I don't understand. Okay, so it looks like maybe two. It says... It doesn't... Oh, no. That says video. Maybe these are only, like, shorts. I don't know. Oh, no. 55 minutes. Okay.
I spelled death wrong. I didn't put...
No, there's a Death Toilet series, and there is... four of them, it looks like, before you get to Amityville Death Toilet. Yeah, there's one Death Toilet 4, Brown Snakes on a Plane. Yeah. See, this is what I'm saying, man. You fucking pop over that shit. Poop words. Getcha. Gonna be your downfall.
Vietnam veteran Brett Baxter comes home to settle his dead brother's affairs and soon realizes that his toilet mate... Oh, yeah, I put this on my watch list. I knew this existed and then I forgot this existed.
Yeah. Yeah. As you should.
In this epic third installment, Brett Baxter's quiet existence is disrupted when a toilet from his past returns and is more diabolical than ever. When a toilet from his past...
Mm.
Mm. Oh, these movies have that dude, G.G. Allen, Isaac Golub. I recognize that name.
Yes.
There's only four death toilets.
Yeah, there's only four of them.
Yeah, so those were some of the ones that I found. So if you just search toilet on Tubi, you'll see.
hold on a second.
There's so many movies I haven't seen that are about toilets.
Okay. All right. We'll see what Orion comes up with. I got five. We'll see what Orion comes up with here.
And movies that have toilets in the description.
Hmm.
And there was a movie called Poop Talk that's a documentary that I didn't want to watch.
Right.
That's... I thought about that one.
Mm. So, yes, we will be moving away from poop next week. Well, maybe. I mean,
I don't know.
Convenient tunnels.
Your sphincter is a convenient tunnel.
Yeah, that's what I was going to say. Could be construed as a... Right. So hopefully we will be moving away from poop talk next week into the category of convenient tunnels.
Poop talk. And it's going to be all right.
Have a good week, everybody.
Do you know that Dolly Parton song?
Yes.
Straight talk, but it's poop talk.
You should record it, and every poop episode that we do from now on,
gonna we'll... have poop talk. Poop talk. I don't know. That's all I got.
No. Oh, you can come up with lyrics.
I don't want to give it any more thought. I feel like that's enough. Just repeat that over and over.
Like that movie. Same thing over and over.
I'm just kidding.
All right.
Goodbye.